You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, Building and Construction Minister Chris Penk announced changes to the earthquake-prone building regulations that will remove nearly 3,000 buildings from the classification register. Previously, buildings would have to meet a 34% NBS new building standard threshold to predict likelihoods of withstanding seismic action. The new system instead prioritises identifying structures that pose a higher risk to human life. Alterations seek to measure risk in a manner that balances safety with more affordable and realistic remediation action for existing properties. I spoke to Dr. Megan Boston, Senior Lecturer for Civil Engineering at the University of Waikato, about what the new quake-prone building regulations mean for Aotearoa's community safety and heritage. Kia ora, Megan. Why is this a welcome adjustment to earthquake-prone building regulations?
It's a welcome adjustment because of the reduced burden on the number of buildings that need to be retrofitted. It allows a more nuanced range of solutions for dealing with our vulnerable buildings. So we can think about it as with the old system, if we were to map all of our buildings in a matrix, we're looking at probability of damage versus severity. Everything's coming up with the same risk category, so everything would be marked as red. But with this new system, we're actually allowed to have some more solutions to how we rank our buildings. So not everything is showing up with red, and only the ones that are most critical in terms of number of people that are going to be affected if there's damage or a higher probability of it being damaged are going to be the ones that are targeted by this new approach.
And how are regional variations regarding any possible differing geological risk factors accounted for in this new national model of assessment?
Yeah. So with this new assessment, it's a more appropriate variation of the risk. So we know based off of risk models and seismic hazard mappings that's been done over the last several years that there is a lower seismic risk in places like Auckland and Northland and Chapman Islands that are being proposed to be removed with the new earthquake-prone system. And it makes more sense because there's a lower seismic risk, so it doesn't make as much sense to hold them to the same standard as what we would for a building in Wellington or Christchurch, where we know that there's a bigger risk. Makes more financial sense to focus resources and money on places with the bigger actual risk of damage and give a little bit less emphasis on places with lower risk. It also helps, I think, with people's understanding of the importance or getting people more interested in doing retrofit if we're recognizing places with lower risk are going to have less requirements than places with more risk. If you have more risk, you should be taking greater actions. So it's just allowing for more nuanced and a more flexibility to be able to consider the actual realities of the situation.
And beyond safety, what do you believe to be the next priority for consideration in any alterations to seismic risk management?
Yeah, so I think our highest priority is to have functioning communities. And with that, it requires a balance between what is reasonable to retrofit and repair and getting safe buildings, but also what do we need to have to be able to preserve our communities. And we want to think about that beyond just an earthquake happens and we have damage, but what's happening to our communities before and after. If we are requiring so many buildings with the current earthquake-prone building system, we have a whole bunch of buildings that are being classified as earthquake-prone. Many of them are being abandoned or left derelict because there's misunderstanding of requirements to retrofit them or not having the financial ability to do that. So we're losing a lot of we have potential to lose a lot of our community sense of connection or belonging to place if we lose those buildings. We also have building shortages in some ways with housing or other things. And if we're too focused on just the seismic safety for an event that is potentially going to happen in the future, we lose sight of what we need now to keep our, our communities functioning.
And so what positive social impacts does this development have for New Zealand communities?
Yeah, so I see a lot of positive impacts for this, particularly around rural communities that have a lot of buildings that probably put into the earthquake-prone category unintentionally. And so impacts of having less buildings that need to be adjusted. I visited Hokitika and a few other towns in the South Island a few summers ago, and I was surprised by the number of heritage buildings and church buildings and others that were vacated due to them being earthquake prone. And they were central buildings to the community. And while I don't know if these buildings would necessarily be removed from the list, it's going to depend on how they fit within the new proposed system. But there's potential that they could be removed. And so that means that communities are able to get those buildings back, those central places that are building who they are as a community. So people will be able to get their places of worship back, community centers back. So positive changes for that. The other positive change is, I think, moving away from the percent new building standard, which has been quite a challenging part of the current system, because it's an engineering framework or a measurement that's trying to estimate strength of a building compared to the new building standards. And it's really been twisted and construed into a different way where it's being used inappropriately. So removing that from the new proposed system has potential to have more clarity around what is a vulnerable building and what retrofitting would actually do to improve that building, where we're actually looking at that building in particular, what makes it vulnerable, what would a retrofit do, and adding more clarity around building performance as a whole versus individual components within a building that just gets mixed up and confused when we're too focused on percent and BS. So positive social impact coming from a better understanding of what it is and a lower financial and social burden by not requiring all these buildings to be retrofitted when they don't necessarily need to be.
And what can we next learn from international practice? Who are our best precedents in this field for any future developments?
Yeah, so for international practices, you know, it's really good to look at other places with similar building stock as well as similar risks. So we can look to Japan and the U.S. are obvious candidates due to their similar seismic stuff. One thing to note is just that there are challenges with having mandatory retrofit programs without financial incentives, which we had with the old earthquake-prone building problem, which creates challenges for people to actually do the retrofit, which I think is why we're seeing a number of buildings that were being abandoned or left empty. Just also overseas, there are different retrofit programs that provide full or partial repairs. One example of this was a few years ago, there was a Fix the Bricks program in Utah that was focused on giving small grants to homeowners to fix parapets and masonry chimneys on their houses. So they recognized the vulnerable components and provided an incentive to help homeowners get those fixed. And while it wasn't a complete grant to do it, it provided some money and some relief for that. The other thing is just understanding the variability and dealing with earthquake-prone buildings. They're not all equal. And so if we're thinking about with higher occupancy or critical services, those are more crucial to fix than smaller buildings, maybe with occasional occupancy. And we can see variety in how earthquake-prone buildings are dealt with depending on their occupancy or their use, based off of looking at places like Japan or the U.S. for that. And then finally, just thinking about our risk interpretation, so how we can better adjust our financial appetite based off of what is actually feasible. And we can look at people that have been dealing with this for a long time, overseas with larger communities like Kobe in Japan, Los Angeles, and in the U.S. with longer times for recovery from their big earthquakes to see what we can do to improve.
That was Dr. Megan Boston, Senior Lecturer for Civil Engineering at the University of Waikato, on Aotearoa's new earthquake-prone building regulations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.